Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Of musicals taught me everything I know, and they did indeed. I am so winning at Millionaire Hot Seat these days. There are musical questions flying left, right, and center on that show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most game shows have the odd one here and there where you're like, oh, that I know.
Yeah, but it's all the other things, the political questions, mm-hmm. all these mm-hmm. other amazing questions that I know because of musicals.
Classic, right?
Total
we
classic.
We should do a podcast about it.
We could do that. Do you think there already is one?
Probably not.
Whoa. So listeners, if you know of any musical podcasts that talk about the lessons they've learned by listening to musicals, you should let us know.
Yeah.
Zane's loving the banter. Welcome, Julie.
Oh, hello.
I'm Miranda.
Hi, Miranda. And nice to meet you.
Who's this here with us today?
Hey.
It's Brad or Bradley, if we need to fill in time.
Yeah, Brad is a lot quicker.
Yeah, well, I am notorious for long episodes, so let's go with Brad today.
Sure.
Okay.
Short and snappy.
Short and snappy. And we are here to talk about...
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Now, is it Priscilla, comma, Queen of the Desert, Priscilla, colon, Queen of the Desert?
I think it's actually The Adventures of Priscilla.
The movie is The Adventures of Priscilla.
Right. Okay, look, I've not done the research for
this. The musical is Priscilla.
Priscilla. If I was right...
Colon?
Comma.
Yeah, I'd go semicolon if I was... if I was under duress, had to write it out.
Well, let's just say the Wikipedia is Priscilla, comma.
Well, they've never led me astray, so...
All right, well, we'll have to check with the writers on the specifics.
Dear Stephen and Alan.
We will get to Stephen and Alan and our further adventures in grammar in a moment, but we are going to redo the quiz with you,
Brad.
It's
an exciting day when we redo a quiz.
Woohoo!
Yes.
We have done it with you before, but I wasn't there, so you didn't get the introductory song, therefore the whole segment didn't count.
Okay, cool.
So that's why we have to do it again. Are you ready for the song?
Sure, yes.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you. Quick today.
It's quick. It's
just
like
bam, bam, bam.
It's like if Ethel took speed.
Yes.
I know I said I was ready, but I was not ready.
No one's ever truly ready.
You can't be.
We're going to just dive straight in, but I'm going to go wild and completely mix up the order of the questions.
Oh, gosh.
So
hopefully
no.
I can throw you off.
What are you doing to our guest?
I know. This is what I love to do. I love to mix it up.
Ugh.
Zane's not on mic. He can't stop us.
I mean, he can literally mute you.
Anything goes. Is not the show we're doing today. But what's your go-to shower song?
See, I'm not a shower singer. And the reason I'm not is because I'm really awkward and you can probably tell by the way, like I sort of came in and sat in this chair, uncoordinated. And if I try and sing in the shower, every time I've ever tried to do that, I have got soap or something down my throat. So
oh,
I'm
no.
a very tight-lipped shower person.
So just a gentle hum in the shower.
It's dead silence.
I'm worried that like the flip side of being a tight-lipped shower person is like me, but I'm like a loose-lipped shower person. So I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I think we should move on quickly. That's how I feel about it. What's your dream role?
Probably something. I think last time I answered this, I think I said something that doesn't have to sing much because I'm not super...
just worried about the soap in the air
Yeah. But then it says dream role. So and now that I really think about it, it probably should be someone who's got to sing incredibly well, because if it was a dream role, I shouldn't be limiting myself in my dream.
No, you can
good,
do it.
Yes, so, correct.
You have all the powers you need.
So I might go with someone like maybe Orpheus from Hadestown.
Ooh.
Yeah, just someone who I could never aspire to be in the real world.
You can always aspire. Where to go next? Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
This one. This is a bit off the wall one. Lee Bowery from Boy George's Taboo.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm just going to nod and smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. You'll love it. It's maybe I'll talk about it next week. He's a real person who was really influential in sort of the underground drag scene in the UK in the 80s. And I'm this is me sort of edging into the like themes of Priscilla as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So I see.
Yeah, but he's in the Boy George musical. He was originally played by Matt Lucas, I believe, in Broadway or in London. And a lot of people tell me I look like Matt Lucas. So
now that you mention it, I would never have just gone, oh, my God, that guy looks so much like Matt Lucas. But now that you've said it, I can't unsee it.
I don't see it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's one each way. I'm sorry. What about people who are getting it completely wrong? Which musical character might people compare you to?
Maybe Horton the Elephant.
Oh, Horton
is so lovely.
But also probably can look like Matt Lucas. So.
Now I'm picturing Matt Lucas playing Horton the Elephant. I don't know how I feel about it.
I think he'd be all right because he was Mr. Toad in Wind of the Willows. One of the.
Oh yeah.
And he really looks like he suits an animal prosthetic and stuff like that.
Yes.
One of those animal prosthesis faces, you know.
Yes. Is that a compliment?
You know what you look like you'd do with an animal prosthesis.
You look like you'd be so handsome. You just slapped a trunk in the middle.
You would be great as an alligator.
What's your favourite Sondheim show?
I think I probably did say this last time. Into the Woods, because that's the one I've been involved in before. The only Sondheim show I've actually been involved in. So you know when you have some involvement in something, and then you kind of have an attachment to it, yes, even though it might not be the best one. that is the one that I.
Well, that's what favorite means.
Yeah,
your favorite. And now you have the opportunity, a rare opportunity, to take a second whack at deleting a musical from existence. You must use this just really carefully, okay? Do you remember what you deleted the first time?
I do, and I'll tell you how I remember, because my mum got very upset with me.
Oh, no.
She listened, and then she...
deleted again.
Yeah, she chased me down, and she was like, you don't understand. Oh, she's probably listening to this, so I won't go into it too much.
You got a double chasing coming for you.
But I did say Grease last time.
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't mind. That's fine. That's okay.
I did say Grease, but I can say another one.
Grease 2?
I'm going to say, I actually don't have a problem with this musical as a musical. I'm going to say Fame. And I actually don't mind Fame at all. I just am so sick of seeing productions of it.
Yes.
It's just no loss if it should disappear forever.
It's just, I think we've all seen it enough. We've all seen,
I proudly have seen it never on stage.
You should check it out. It's really good. quick, before it gets deleted.
Never on stage. I've seen the movie, just not on stage.
It was great for its time, but its time has passed. That's how I feel about Fame.
Yeah, and I think that
the way that it treats the subject matter has been superseded by other things.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
So let's all just bin it. Yeah. It's gone. And you know what else is gone? This segment. Gone.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And now it is time to speak about Priscilla Miscellaneous Grammatical Something, Queen of the Desert, the musical.
That's what it's called.
Yay.
So why did you bring this show to us?
Because I think that it's really an important story and very unlike what we said about fame. I don't think it is something that has necessarily been superseded by other shows that are about the same subject matter. I think it's one of the ones that when we're looking for shows that deal with the stuff that this show deals with, this is still kind of one of the hallmarks of it. And it is able to be sort of constantly updated, like a 2020 production of Priscilla. Well, 2019, 2021 production of Priscilla. <It's> gonna,
yes, there's no 2020 production of anything.
It's going to be... It can bring more to the story than maybe a 2010 production could have. So I think there's always ways that it can be reinvented to remain relevant or to say something new.
That's a good point. Cool. Well, the first thing we're going to do is a rundown of the plot.
Sure.
Now, obviously, if you have seen Priscilla, the adventures of Priscilla, comma, Queen of the Desert.
Don't think there's a comma there, actually.
The movie. the storyline is...
I think it's a semicolon in the movie.
Yeah. Exactly the
Adventures
same.
Of Priscilla, comma, Queen of the Desert.
Comma, Queen of the
and
Desert.
And if you ever look it up in some sort of film index, it would probably be Priscilla, comma, Queen of the Desert, comma, The Adventures of.
You're not wrong.
Oh my gosh. That just confused me completely. But we're going to do the plot. And it is the same as the film. Is that
Yeah, it is very much a...
So often when we see adaptations.
Both.
Adaptations, either I say, is it is an adaptation, and to get there you have to...
Adapt it.
So that process is called the adaption.
Okay. So often in adaptations we get changes to the story or the characters. We leave some characters out, put some other things in, you know, but that didn't really happen with the development of this show, I think, because it was already in a format of here are the core characters, here's their core story,
yep.
And then they meet lots of fun people.
Yes,
because
here
it
are the
was
scenes.
Kind of same guys do same thing.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I think we did the film pretty good.
Let's
I will
just whack it on stage.
Pop it on stage. Done.
They did change some of the format of how they tell the story, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's go through the plot in 2 minutes. Julie's sure. going to time you. Are you prepared for
I
that?
Mean,
I'm not
I
at all. As I
hoping
said, I've
producer
done...
Zane had a timer.
We have plenty of timing devices around. So this is your elevator pitch.
Yep.
We just want the plot.
Sure.
Okay. Deep breath when you're ready.
Okay, so the story is about the main character, Mitzi, who he is a drag queen in Sydney. He is not... terribly successful, having a bit of a bad run, and so he teams up with another drag queen and then a trans woman who used to previously work in the clubs as well, and they do a bus trip out to Alice Springs to perform at a venue run by his ex-wife. And then that's pretty much the plot. They just do. I just realized this is a second road trip musical I've bought you guys. that's very much the plot. And then things happen to the bus and to them on the way there. So they sort of get to each individual town or place on the road.
All rural towns.
Yeah. It's very outback Australia heavy. And then they you know learn and love along the way.
It's a good time.
It is a good time.
And a sad time. And a good time.
Yeah, well, that's
how much time do we have left?
Do I spoil it? And then at the end,
definitely spoil it.
We get there and he's got a kid that the others didn't know about. And then so you know it's a Shocking. very much a tale of him coming to terms with how he sees himself and then how he thinks the rest of the world and the people close to him see him and all that kind of sort of gooey stuff.
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there. So what would you say the main themes that we get throughout that journey?
I don't like this word when we refer to these kind of social issues, but I'm going to use it because I can't think of a better one. So tolerance. it is very much, you know, a story of accepting people who are different or who you perceive to be different. It is it challenges, I guess, what might be heteronormative or what might be like normalcy in the viewpoints of a lot of people who live outside of the areas where those particular differences are more well established. And it kind of looks at, I guess, or exposes some of the truths about other people and other communities that sometimes we are happier ignoring. So, I think those are sort of the key things that it deals with.
It deals with. It does. there's some ups and downs in the story, but it does all turn out well in the end. Hmm. You know, people discover themselves and new things about the people around them. Everybody learns. Everybody goes on a literal and figurative journey. There are other shows that have come along since that tell similar stories about similar subject matter, but, you know, none of them in this way. So, like you were saying before, it's never been superseded. Probably the most prominent one more recently that comes to mind would be Kinky Boots for me. Mm-hmm. They've taken a lot of that similar... is that idea of taking something and putting it in a place where it's not as expected and yep. then, you know, watching the reactions happen and people learn acceptance.
I think in telling both stories, if you're going to compare, like, Priscilla and Kinky Boots, Priscilla for me is the clear, like, I don't know, I just think it's a much better telling of that story. It has a lot more to it, maybe.
I think, yeah, I agree with that. And I think the reason for that is that Kinky Boots... Kinky Boots is more about someone who learns to accept this other character.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is, it casts, like, okay, Charlie in Kinky Boots, he's the normal guy, he's the everyman, and in comes Lola, who is the whirlwind that sort of stirs everything up. And it's Charlie's story about learning to accept that other person, whereas Priscilla is more about the drag performers are the central characters. There's not another person who's the protagonist.
Yeah, yet.
And so it's more about them accepting who they are themselves, which I think is a more weighted message than just...
And while also, because it also still does exactly the same, tells exactly the same story in terms of each place they go to visit. Some they are more accepted than others, but it does bring that spark of change in each town, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spark is a good word to use because Priscilla is best known for its sparkle. The costumes, of course, were the biggest thing to cause furor when the film came out, and the same thing was expected when the stage show came in. So the design of this show is pretty amazing. It's can you tell us anything about how the production was put together?
Yeah, so I saw the original one in Sydney when I was a very young man. So
three or four.
But yeah, it was full on spectacle because it was like, look how big we can get this bus.
look how big. Wait, 2006, we got a whole bus on stage.
And then that sort of, from memory, that was on a revolve, and then that sort of revolved around to then reveal, yeah, a revolve, yeah.
Wow.
look out, theatre.
Hello.
It's sort of a spectacle like that. But since it's kind of moved from, like, almost purpose-built theatre in Sydney to house it, when it's moved around, it's had to adapt to, you know, other venues. So it can be done, I guess it can be staged in such a simplistic way compared to that. But always, like you said about the costumes, that's always where no matter the budget of the production, I think that's always where the...
Mate,
where that budget
pour goes. It into costumes, yeah. Because you can allude to a bus and have... And probably if you're in a small space, please do just allude to that kind of setting. But costumes, you cannot get away with having S-H-I-T costume.
Thank you for spelling it out. Just to protect our listeners from the bad words.
just the listeners that can't spell, though.
Yeah. So the original cast, it is an Australian show and was put together by a production team, most of which worked on the film. So I think that helped preserve some of the integrity as it was moved to stage.
Yeah.
And probably the same thing happened in the design, but it was directed by Simon Phillips, who is one of my personal favourite directors. I enjoy watching his work because I think that he works particularly with... storytelling very, very well. And I don't know if anybody who's ever listened to this podcast knows, but I enjoy a bit of storytelling.
She's bang up for a story.
Yeah, I do. Good storytelling always gets me right in the feels. But the show did go around the world after that. So it's had about a bazillion productions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't mind a bit of Priscilla.
Yeah. It did very well in the West End. That's where it went straight after Australia. Then Canada and then a Broadway. So it was on Broadway by 2011, which was 5-6 years after it had opened here. So I think things tend to get there a lot faster than they get here when it happens the other way around.
Apparently.
But maybe that's just because it was such a great show. But some of the other places it's been, I don't know whether we're some of them are strange. Italy, Sao Paulo, Stockholm, Argentina, Athens, Manila, Singapore, Seoul, Spain. Let's go back to Italy. Let's do 3 or 4 UK national tours. Let's put it on a Norwegian cruise ship.
That would be good.
It does have that very cruise ship vibe, just by nature of.
Yeah. Purely, it's a jukebox musical. That makes so much sense.
It is. Auckland, Tokyo. New Zealand had to wait a while. They would have got the Australian tour production, surely. I don't know. They're very far away, New Zealand. Tokyo, Paris, South Africa, Hong Kong, Munich. Let's do it in Australia again, back in 2018. And here we are in Italy for the third time.
Yeah, they can't get enough of it over there.
For a 2018 through 2020 tour.
Yeah, yeah. The Italians love this show.
I just realised too, I'm really bad at podcasts. I've been like nodding along and that's... And then I just realised, like, I just sound like I've died on the microphone, probably.
It's okay.
Every episode, you're fine.
We actually ring a little bell every time you do it, so the listeners can tell. It'll be fine. So it's been worldwide pretty dang successful. Tick Australia.
Yeah, good on us, finally.
Good on us. I think part of that is the spectacle. A part of that is that it is Australian. Like, it has a really strong, probably more authentic than some of those countries are used to seeing representation of Australian.
Yeah, my bogan culture. Partner was in it in London, and
congratulations to him.
And you?
Yeah, me. Yes, I landed a man, ladies.
How did you do it? Don't worry, I'm still figuring it out.
But he was in it, and when he had the script and we looked through it, and a lot of them, a lot of the lines actually were felt un-Australianized, like they'd kind of gone through, and I don't know if that was just the UK script or if that's just how they, you know, distribute it. Mm. But a lot of them are stuff like, I'm not going to be able to think of a specific example now, of course, but just some things that we would say in Australia that they sort of changed to make more global. So took out a few of those sort of...
They took a yes mate to a yes.
Yeah, so stuff like that. Yeah. They taken out things that were a bit more. So he sort of went back and was like, "Hey, I was going to improvise around these the way I thought." I probably shouldn't say that. Sounds like he's a broken license agreement.
Never. We would never.
Cheeky few lines.
But yeah, I was very surprised that it was that, and it wasn't a massive thing, but just that there were some things that I was like, well, we would never say that in Australia. You know, that's a very American thing. That's a British thing to say. But
as long as they don't throw another shrimp on the barbie in anywhere, I'm fine.
Yeah, I've lived in Australia for 32 years and I've never heard anyone say that.
Well, we simply don't call them shrimp.
No. Or barbie, really.
Neither do we throw things on the barbie. Like, I've never thrown anything.
We place
anything.
Them very gently.
Like, go long, throw it.
Them gently, we cook them to the right degree, and then we take them off.
By right degree, you mean burnt to a cinder?
No, I mean not burnt to a cinder.
No. Well, we're
also
different people.
Their musical numbers in this had a hash and then a rehash and then a rehash hash, depending on where it is in the world at the time. And I think so some of the amendments for the West End production, they took out songs like Don't Leave Me This Way and I Love the Nightlife.
Why did you take out I Love the Nightlife?
Freaking dare they. Ugh. And replaced it with I Say a Little Prayer plus I Say a Little Prayer reprise. No. I'm like actually genuinely mad they took out I Love the Nightlife. And
that,
then
I would never. I wouldn't have done that. Perhaps it was a licensing problem.
There's also some they popped in what did they take out to put it in though? They take out Confide in Me and they put in a Kylie medley for the UK because you know what the UK love?
Kylie.
Bit of Kylie. I don't think I'm that much of a fan, if I'm honest. Like,
of Kylie Minogue?
Yeah, like, give or take, it's
You're
fine.
You're not allowed to say that as a true Australian.
I'm not a true Australian then.
Okay. We're just going to hit on one more point before we leave this and move on to our titular segment. That was for you, Zane. Lessons learned. But we do want to talk a bit about the music. Now, I mentioned before that one of the format changes that they made was around putting the music in and adding in these three girls who they call the divas. So they do a lot of the heavy lifting on the score. They sing 70% of the show, if not more.
Purely because it's originally written for female voice.
Yeah, a lot of the songs that we see in the movie, or hear, I guess you hear songs in the movie, are lip-synced by the drag queen characters.
Yep.
So they do a bit of that still.
Yeah, so the divas sing. It's basically any of the songs that are performed as part of like a show within the show. So if in the nightclub scene, if one of the characters is performing a number in drag, then that is sung by the divas and the drag queen character lip syncs to them. But they do then, if it's just part of like the plot, like for example, Go West, I think they sing that when they're getting the bus together, and they just sing that themselves because they're not performing.
Bernadette,
the characters are singing in the story.
Some of my classic podcasting moves here. I'm doing a lot of inverted commas to explain this.
You can hear them.
Oh, it's okay.
So what about when we get to like the on top of the bus with like the aria from La Traviata?
Yeah, so that is
is that the Divas?
Lip synced. I think it
is that this
Felicia and the Divas.
Deliero vana escueto sempre libra from La Traviata.
Yes.
Felicia and the Divas. So there's some singing along, I guess, with diva operatic singing. But these divas also perform great numbers like Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Ugh.
That must be a difficult thing to cast, girls and opera. I don't know.
Seeing if it was written on your list there, but I think some productions have to, because of restrictions of available opera singers in any given location, have to use the pre-recorded track. And I know, I think there was an issue with at some stage someone took this the worst research thing I've ever said, but some producer or something somewhere took an issue with the fact that parts of the score were pre-recorded, because he was like, well, that's not what musical theatre is. And so I think it got
You know what? I'm going to agree with him.
Yeah, it got a bit of hot water.
Because, like, just look for some, like, I could do it. I'm right here, guys. I can do that part. I can do the others. We'll be fine. I'm sure there are plenty of people that can do both.
I mean, I personally can't, but sure.
I mean, try harder.
Well, that'll be the challenge when we get to our Dreamcast segment. Any last words on...
stop any last words.
On Priscilla, before we move on to lessons learned.
I'm really keen for some lessons learned.
So keen. Woo. Let's do it. What did you learn, Brad?
Well, when I first saw this film, and I think a lot of people can, my age would be able to say the same thing. When I first saw this film, came out in 1994 when I was six. I don't think I saw it when I was six. But it was the first exposure I'd ever had to a transgender character.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people can say that, because if you look at the time that it came out, there's not a lot of mainstream or widely seen stuff that had transgender characters in it. Unfortunately, still the case, which is why I sort of think that the musical is still relevant.
Yeah.
And hasn't been superseded by something like Kinky Boots. But so it was the first time I ever saw that person represented. And I think that that's really essential. And exposing more stuff should do this, but in exposing people to the normalcy that that kind of identity is, rather than treating it like a side character, because that's a really heavy character. Personally, I think, who has the strongest arc throughout the whole thing. And I think it's really important that, you know, a lot of people see it, because that's, as soon as you see it, you're so on board with that, no matter how young you are. So I think I saw it when I was like maybe eight. And it was like, oh, okay. Oh, this happens. And yeah, so I think that's the main thing that we learn from it is these people exist and they're real people, and they're not stock characters and they're not comic relief and they're
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
They're, this is a real person with real human issues.
Yes.
I think I would, yes, I was very similar age. I think I was about 8 when I first saw it. I think probably one of my sisters had it on the VHS.
Ooh.
And I never, I don't think there was ever a time when I thought any of it was not normal though. So whether I was just similar to what I am now, do what you are, like it doesn't, whoever you are, you do you. But yeah, I don't ever remember even as a kid having any questions. It's just like, okay, cool, cool, cool. I think maybe that's what everyone needed exposure to as children. Just yeah. Like, okay, cool, cool, cool. What I did learn, she's definitely not as deep of a lesson. This is my first exposure to I Will Survive.
Oh, really?
So that's where I learned that song from.
Oh, wow.
And I was telling producer Zane today as we were watching it, that I had, you know, those round circular Velcro discs that you would throw the ball.
Tennis balls at, yes.
Yes. Yes. Those. We had a set of those. And in that particular scene where they do I Will Survive, I think it's I Will Survive. Yes. They have these like massive pants that have like yes. rounded shoes on them. I would put those Velcro things on my feet so it would look like I had the same shoes. Like,
well
maybe,
done,
maybe I might have been 6. That would check out.
Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
I think that they do a great job of making this blend work in the way they've created the jukebox and used the music in the story. They haven't tried to – they haven't said, let's just sing a bunch of songs and be happy about it. And they haven't said, let's try and
– force more meaning into this.
Force them all Ugh. Into character-driven moments.
Yeah. They're looking at they've you, Mamma Mia.
Yeah. They've said, here's some that do that and here's some that do this and we'll make them work together. Bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I may have got on my high horse about this last time I was here too. I really just don't gel with many jukebox musicals. Like the heavy-handedness of them, I often just makes me grip my teeth. But this one, you kind of almost forget that it is. You know, forget that these songs are from elsewhere or they're not from this context. But it's just, it's so easily slid together that it...
Yeah.
It just kind of like dovetails in and out of the story. Like it's just there along with the story but not necessarily like, guys, slipping through my fingers all the time. Like it's okay. Like we don't need that. I think that's where I get on board with jukebox musicals as well. So the ones I really like are the ones that follow it is about that group's life, like Jersey Boys or Beautiful. They're the songs that were in that timeline. So that's fine.
Yeah. And you can read in some meaning to where they appear in the story, but they don't change the lyrics so that it applies. That's the one that really grates on me. Like that just, and we'll just tweak the lyrics a bit. I'm like, don't.
But don't though? Like you could not.
Just don't. No.
But yeah, so this one I'm just real comfortable. I can just sit comfortably in this kind of like, yeah, it's fine. They're there.
I do also applaud them for saying, you know, here's a show that has quite a male cast. Let's put in 3 diva roles for women and just let them be total divas in a great show and sing great music in this fantastic show.
And there are indigenous roles. Yeah, like you said, a lot of roles. There is one problematic Asian representation.
Well, yes. But that was a problem in the film and it just transferred into the...
As I said, watching this today, 2 steps forward, 82 steps back.
Yeah, but apart from that, it is such a diverse, a diverse ensemble that come together to tell the story too.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that it's not like... I don't think I'm being fair to Kinky Boots by sort of constantly...
Sorry.
Saying,
I didn't mean to create a war between the two shows.
But I think Kinky Boots is... for people who are not of the queer community, whereas I think Priscilla is for everybody. Kinky Boots is how to teach straight people a lesson, whereas Priscilla is just like here's the diverse range of these people, and here's their life.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. So, oh, no. I'm really sorry I brought up the whole Kinky Boots thing now.
I'm not.
Okay.
It's a good comparison.
Okay. Musically, it's also an interesting comparison. Anyway, let's move on. Anything else that we've learned? No?
Not for me.
That's it? I think the lessons are clear and strong, and they're not muddled by other things. You know, that's good sometimes. We don't need to learn everything in every show. Let's just learn the important ones and then move on to the Dreamcast segment. Dreamcast, who's in your Dreamcast? It's getting longer and I don't know how I feel about it.
I just needed to let you sit in silence with that for a moment.
That's my shower song.
That's it. Great. Let's move on quickly. Who are we casting?
This is hard.
Well, I don't have this particular person, but I've seen this show a few times and including the movie in this. Every time I've ever seen it, Bernadette has been played by a cisgender male.
Wouldn't it be nice to play, not have that?
Yeah, so I would really like to see a cast that actually had a transgender woman play Bernadette, because I think there are so many...
It's time.
Yeah, and there are so many performers out there who have that, you know, who have lived that story and then get to watch some old man do it. So
I think that was another one of my questions while watching the movie today. I'm like, wait, are any of these guys actually gay?
Yeah, no.
And producer was like, no. I'm like, ooh, that's problematic.
Yeah. but yeah, someone like, I mean, the character's based on Carlotta, but obviously she's very old.
Okay. Well, people do tend to age. I don't. I don't know about you.
I don't know how she'd go, you know, belting a few out. But yeah, someone, I'd really like to see a Australian drag transgender performer in that role, so that they have the opportunity to be sort of lifted out onto that platform.
Yeah. I would like, personally, if we have another Australian production, yes. I would like all unknowns with absolutely no stunt casting, please and thank you.
You don't want Alf Stewart in it?
I don't want Raymar back. I don't think that was a good choice. No, thank you.
It was a choice.
It was a money-making decision that made money. Good job. But that meant a lot of the audience was very drunk when I saw it.
Oh. I don't know how you can blame Alf.
It was heckling. I blame Alf.
Oh, okay.
Well, I do agree with you, because I think there are a lot of extremely talented drag performers in underground places in Australia.
Yeah, not even very underground. It's Brisbane Festival here at the moment, and it's 90% drag queens there now.
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen any festival that didn't have drag queens in it.
Oh, I did. I saw one.
Did you?
Yeah.
And I'm not complaining about it, because it's working for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've also, like, then again, if you are going to stunt cast it, we have very, very famous drag performers as well.
Yeah.
Use them.
Give them a go.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Rather than what the film, and I really like the performances of the actors in the film, but it is a bit like, you know, Guy Pearce, they would have had to explain what drag was to him before he
I do feel like, on set. To their credit, they did play those characters very well. Like, I think had you taken like many other or any sometimes other straight man and gone, hey, be gay, I think you could have ended up with an extreme caricature of what they thought those kind of performers were. So I think they kind of came to a relatively steady medium.
Yeah.
It could have been worse.
It could have been. Do you remember?
Okay, here you go.
Yeah. So many songs that have that. Though there was a TV show in Australia when the must have been the revival was coming around.
2018.
To cast.
Yes!
Yes. So they took a bunch of performers and put them through like reality TV drag queen camp.
Yeah, how is that not mentioned on the Wiki Priscilla page anywhere?
Because the production of Priscilla got cancelled or postponed, and the show got cancelled before they got to a winner. So we never found out who won, but there was some great performance in there.
Yeah, it doesn't even
and
mention...
I regularly see a few of them that I recognize from that TV show going through Drag Queen Camp, which in itself was a tacky, horrible mess, but probably more entertaining than watching The Block.
For me, personally, yes.
Barely any drag queens on that
show.
They
went literally into the desert to dress up and sing.
Yeah, it was
in
odd.
A competition. It was like Australian Idol meet, I don't know, it was weird. But yeah, I still regularly see performers who I was introduced to on that show in other things now, particularly stage shows, but occasionally in TV. And I reckon it's their turn.
Yeah.
Was get them back get them and let them there. Actually do it.
Was old mate Rob Mills part of that as like the host or something?
I don't know.
I'm Googling. I'm still Googling.
I think it was around the time of the Millsy era, but...
It's called I Will Survive. If you couldn't find it on YouTube or somewhere, you know our socials. Musicals teach me on most things. So just send it our way. Hosted by Hugh Sheridan.
That was it.
Featuring judges Jason Donovan.
Who was in...
Tick in the West End.
Yes.
Stephen Elliott, the director of the film.
Yeah.
Oh, Nathan Foley was one of the... That's who. The high five guy was in it.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. I know who the winner is. It's on the Wikipedia page.
Who won?
Michael Snell, 28-year-old dance instructor.
Oh, Michael Snell.
Winner. Nathan Foley Chicken came dinner. In as third.
Well, it's their turn. I'm casting them in it. Anyone else?
Oh, dear, no. Again, unknowns, thank you, please.
Unknowns, yeah, I'm with you.
I agree.
I'm with you. Let us move on to our top five lists.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
No.
What is that, like the Borat version of Top Five? Top Five.
I was going to sing and then I changed my mind halfway through.
You're a weirdo. Top five Australian musicals?
Top five Australian musicals. I'm going to give it to you.
I can put it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's Australia. It's the most Australian.
Yeah.
And given my disregard of a lot of other jukebox musicals, I'd put it in my top five jukebox musicals.
Yeah.
I'll
pop it on there.
I know last time I was here I did... I'm pretty sure we said road trip, top five road trip musicals.
Why not? If we didn't, we're making it a thing now. Is it over? Like, where does it sit between Little Miss Sunshine and this?
Oh, don't do that to me. My children.
I'm doing that.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
Which is your favorite?
My two
favorite kid, the other one dies.
Cross country bus musicals about accepting people who are different.
which one is better?
Sensing a theme.
Okay, I think Priscilla is more important.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I'll let him.
Nice.
Let him clock in at that.
Top five true to the film adaptations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Top five drag.
Yep.
I can think of three others at least.
Top five costume design opportunities.
I mean, it is a bar that was set.
Yeah.
It's a very big list, but I think let's say eclectic costume design, because you can have anything from like a thong on stage and
thong.
Both kinds.
I mean, yes, but for our non-Australian listeners, I mean the flip-flop, singular flip-flop.
Flip-flop dress.
A flip-flop dress to like a giant parakeet or something amazing, you know? Like, it's eclectic. I get you.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Any more?
Maybe top five. I'm thinking of about five in my head, but if I sat down for a while, I'd probably get to a lot more than this. Like queer themed.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think it's up there in the list because of the way it treats the subject matter.
I don't know how to word this.
Use all the words.
Use inverted commas.
I don't think that's not going to help. Like queer accessible, like more palatable for the broader audience, I guess, where kind of everyone gets on board, especially if you put Ray Maher in it, apparently.
Sorry to interrupt, but I have just noticed something I should have brought up earlier.
Okay, here we go.
Keala Settle was in the original Broadway cast.
As a diva?
As Shirley.
Or the wife.
That's the
wife that owns the bar, right?
Oh, is it? Oh, no.
I don't know. Hang on.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
No, I was thinking it was the problematic Asian character.
Well, no. Keala Settle's...
Right. Oh, yes.
Drinking
She's
competition.
The really bogany one in the... Yeah. Shirl.
I have a question now.
Yes.
When Priscilla Queen of the Desert goes to other countries, do they all do an Australian accent?
Yes.
They did to. In London.
They did in London?
Yeah.
Did they do it to. In America?
They would have to. They'd have to.
Probably badly. I think in the Broadway one, the Australian Bernadette was in the Broadway one as well.
Tony Sheldon did Australia, West End, Broadway.
Yeah.
He just all the original casts, Tony Sheldon.
That's blown my mind. Now I need to hear that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just like, what? This is why I shouldn't have my screen open while we're recording.
That's why we can't have
We're in things. The middle of top five surprise castings of Keala Settle.
Sure.
In an original Broadway cast. Okay, I think we're done on top fives if we haven't got anything
else.
Good.
I'm topped out.
And so we are done. We're done. This is it. We've done Priscilla.
She's been done.
Tick. Just add that like in tick emoji to the end of the grammatical
tick emoji
mess that is Priscilla.
Our producer's crying.
he'll be fine. Thank you so much for coming in, Bradley.
Thank you for having me.
See, we have all this extra time. I can use your full name.
Yes.
Bradley.
Next time I'll do Kinky Boots and have to like argue the other side.
Sorry. It's been done.
Yeah, we have done a Kinky Boots episode. So if you're interested in listening to that, you can check out the back catalogue. There are a lot of shows in the back catalogue. Can I just mention that we've done like 400 million shows by the...
Are we up to 150 something. 3 years worth of podcasting.
So that is
children.
A lot to go catch up on.
You've got a long drive coming up.
And I will warn you that the first 100 or so of those episodes were the longer format. So enjoy them even more. But we have done a lot of new and interesting shows of late, and there's more of those coming up. But there's also some classics coming up in the schedule over the next few months, which Julie will be pleased about.
Oh, I need a classic.
And as always, if there's a show you want us to cover that isn't on the list yet, please do let us know. We'll find someone to talk about it, or maybe you want to come and talk about it yourself. Get in touch. We've got an email address, musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com, where you can find us in all the social places. On Facebook, where Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, but pretty much everywhere else, we're at Musicals Teach Me. And finally, to the people who want to patronize the arts, and I don't mean patronize them, but patronize them.
You want to patronize them.
You can go to patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingiknow. You'll also find that's not canon. They also have a Patreon account. So you can support the network, which supports millions of podcasts, including this one, or you can throw just us a couple of bucks a month and you do get some extra content. We love to make jazzy top five lists and occasionally do trivia shows. So if you want to hear those, you can get on board. We do love our patrons. They keep us going. And I think, have I done all the things?
Yeah, you have. Woo! Congratulations.
So thank you again, Brad, for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie, for being here.
Welcome. That was rude.
Hardly. I said thank you. And thank you, me, for being here as well.
No, thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to an advertisement for the Penny Peep Show. What is the Penny Peep Show? Well, in our podcast factory, our podcast scientists have been working hard on a range of light-hearted radio play anthology series that everyone can enjoy.
Criminy Cricket, spokesperson! Is there a light-hearted radio play anthology series for me?
No, every series is marked explicit. But why not tell your parents, nameless child? They'll find the Penny Peep Show wherever good podcasts are stocked. The Penny Peep Show. It's like dissolving your ears in a cocaine-laden off-brand soda.
Is that a good thing?
Shut up, nameless child.